Then there's some promises even that evil spirits make. In 2 Chronicles, there's an account where a spirit came and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And he was making this play to tempt one of the kings. And then there are categories. One of them is God the Father to God the Son. And we have at least two. There's probably a lot more that we could not count. But one of them is, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Well, some things about promises. There are 7,708 promises in the Old Testament. There's 1,104 in the New Testament. When you look at Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, each book has like over 1,000 promises. One third of all the promises in the Bible are in those three books. And only the book of Titus doesn't contain a promise. Many verses have more than one promise. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 has four promises right in the same verse. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Deuteronomy chapter 28 has the most promises of any chapter. They have 133 promises in that one chapter. And most of them refer to the blessings and cursings that God promised the Israelites. If they would obey, they'd be blessed. If they disobey, they'd be cursed. Almost every verse in Psalm 37 is a promise. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So D.L. Moody said, God never made a promise that was too good to was too good to be true. Adoniram Judson, he was asked by his mission board what he thought the future held for his mission work, and he said, well, the future is as bright as the promises of God. So I want to talk about promises tonight, and since we got 8,000 to go through, we better hurry up. So I have 12, so don't freak out. Just 12. 12 promises of God. So I started with what I felt like, well, this is the most important one in my mind, the promise of eternal life. When we think about people's needs, when we think about all the nations that we prayed for tonight and all the conflicts around the world, what do people need more than anything? They need to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Christ came to provide eternal life. So, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Romans 10, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's the greatest promise. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess and your faith are saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What an incredible promise. I hope that you have that promise. I hope that you have placed your faith in Christ. I hope that you share this promise with others. That is the greatest promise of all. The other thing, too, is it's not just the promise of eternal life, but God promises to protect you and take you from here to all the way to glory. And John chapter 10, I love this. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. So this concept of being secure in Christ, once you've placed your faith in him, you're secure in his hands. The second promise I want to encourage you with is the promise of the Holy Spirit. This is an incredible promise that the Lord gave to us. He said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. So the promise of the Holy Spirit, which came in Acts chapter 2, but we are the beneficiaries of so many things the Holy Spirit does in our lives. The Holy Spirit teaches us and reminds us of the truth. This is just a wonderful blessing. John 14 again, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I've said to you. So the Holy Spirit is the one who opens your mind and helps you understand the Word of God. Perhaps as you've been reading Scripture, you run across something, you say you don't quite understand it, and you work and you pray and you study. And then there's that moment there, the Holy Spirit illumines you. He brings it to your understanding. He helps you with insight. Say, yeah, I understand what that means. Well, that's the Holy Spirit teaching that to you. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and righteousness. In fact, John 16, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. The power of the Holy Spirit brings conviction on us as believers, but he also brings conviction on unbelievers and helps them understand their need for Christ. The Holy Spirit guides believers into all truth. He will guide you. He guides you and helps you understand his scripture. He empowers us for witness and service. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses. And so without the power of the Holy Spirit, we can't really speak clearly. We can't speak boldly. It's only the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to do that. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us in prayer, which is a wonderful blessing of the Holy Spirit. He helps us in our weakness because we don't know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words. So the promise that the Holy Spirit is praying for you. He gives us spiritual gifts. All these empowered by one and the same Spirit who appoints to each one individually as he wills. So that's the promise of the Holy Spirit. He gives us spiritual gifts so that we can serve him. He produces spiritual fruit in your life. The spiritual fruit, fruit of the Spirit says love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that is the gift of the Lord. That's the promise of the Holy Spirit. And he seals believers for redemption. Getting back to this concept of security in your faith, that he gives you the Holy Spirit in your life as a down payment, knowing that he is going to guarantee your inheritance. That's the promise of the Holy Spirit. A third promise I want to share with you is the promise of an abundant life. The thief comes only to steal and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. You know, the world thinks that they have an abundant life. They think that they can live the high life by chasing all sorts of pleasures of this world. But they're not living the life that's truly life. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives you an abundant life and life to the full. The verse that we started with here, the next verse in 2 Peter chapter 1, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. All these things, and here's the verse 8, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's a promise of an abundant life, that if we follow the Spirit, if we follow these characteristics in our lives, if we put them into practice, it's going to keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. Number 4, the promise of God's comfort. Wow, we need that. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I love this verse, 2 Corinthians 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we have ourselves received from God. The promise of God's comfort. This is a verse that I share when someone loses a loved one, when they're going through an incredibly process of grief. I love this because God calls himself the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. We can trust his promise that he will comfort us, so we can turn around and comfort others with that comfort. The promise of God's presence. You know, loneliness is an incredible epidemic in people's lives. I was just talking with someone recently where his sister is in her 80s and she's in a nursing home, and she broke some ribs and she had to go to a certain part of the nursing home where there was a lot of activity, a lot of care and people coming to see her. But now she's back in her room, which is a good thing because she's stronger, but it's a bad thing because she's lonely. And you understand that. And there are times in your life that you just need to have the presence of the Lord, because never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. You need to have that promise. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You need that promise that God is going to be with you. There's the promise of God's provision. Paul wrote to the Philippians, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Now, that promise is connected to generosity, right? Because he's talking about giving, and he's talking about the Philippians, how they made such a generous gift to Paul. And Paul was saying, you know, my God could provide all your needs because he's generous as well. Matthew 6:33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Well, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was talking about the pagans. They run after all these things, what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, where they're going to live, all these kinds of things that people of the world are concerned about, but your Heavenly Father knows what you need even before you ask him. Seek first his kingdom. All these things will be given to you as well. The promise of God's peace. Well, we prayed for peace in many ways when we talked about all the countries of the world where there's wars and rumors of wars. But peace is a promise that God provides. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives." The peace they offer is fleeting. It's shallow. But the peace that the Lord gives has substance to it. I love this verse in Philippians 4, and you know it well. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." That is substantial peace. I remember my sister passed away a dozen years ago, and my mom and I were at the gravesite, and my mom was just really at peace because she knew my sister had a relationship with the Lord, and so she was very confident in that. And there were others that were just wondering, well, why isn't she all broken up? And of course, it's not wrong to grieve and it's not wrong to cry, but there is a difference that believers face when they face death. We sorrow, but not as others that don't have hope. We sorrow, but we have this peace that transcends all understanding, because we know that we're going to see our loved one, and we know that they're in a better place than we are now, and so you have this peace that guard your hearts and minds in the Lord. The promise of peace. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And so there are so many things in our world that cause us stress and anxiety, family and work and all sorts of things that just struggle in your life. But the promise of God's peace, you can cast all your anxiety on him. He's going to care for you. I need that. The promise of God's wisdom. What a great verse. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we know well to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That's our problem. That's my problem. I'm leaning on my own understanding to make simple decisions. And I need to trust the Lord. I need wisdom. I need to know how to handle situations. I need to know what direction to go, what next steps to take. And so, really, I need to turn to the person who can guide me. And so, the promise in James is that if you lack wisdom, you should ask God, because he will give it to you generously. And he won't say, you asked me for wisdom yesterday. What did you do with that wisdom that I gave you? He will give it to you generously. Ephesians 1, keep asking. I keep asking that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So wisdom and revelation. We need to just continue to pray for wisdom that we can make decisions not based on our own human understanding, but on the wisdom of the Spirit of God. The promise of God's purpose in trials. So, you know all these verses. I haven't shared any verse tonight that you didn't know. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That is an incredible promise, and we need to constantly remind ourselves of that, because there are things that you face in life that life happens and comes up and surprises you, and you have to have this confidence of the promise of God's purpose in trials. He's got a plan. He is trying to work these things out for your good. Back to James, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. So there's a promise of God right there, that if you persevere under trial, there's going to be a crown of life for you specifically, because you've persevered and you love him, and he promised that he's going to reward you. The promise of answered prayer. That is huge. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Hebrews chapter 4. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. And then 1 John 5, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. The power of answered prayer, the promise of answered prayer. The promise of God's strength. Paul, in this situation, and you remember, he had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed three times, God, take this away from me. And the Lord came back and says, well, no, I'm not going to do that. Instead, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. The promise of God's strength. When you don't think you can go on, when you can't put one foot in front of the next, when you can't get out of bed, when you feel so overwhelmed, you feel like the burdens of life are just weighing you down, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul goes on in this passage, and he makes this little phrase, and it's just like, he says, so I delight in weakness. And I've always read that, and I said, wow, I don't. How did he do that? I delight in weakness. And he says, because I know that then the power of Christ rests on me. So I need to remind myself of the promise of God's strength. 1 Peter 5, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. I mean, if you feel like you're struggling and suffering and you're just going through this incredible, intense trial, there is a great promise for you, because it says, after you have suffered a little while, Jesus Christ himself is going to restore you. He's going to make you strong, firm, and steadfast. You might not feel that right now. You might feel like you're still overwhelmed, but here's the promise that he's going to do it. And so the hope of that promise. And the last one, the promise of Christ's return. So in John 14, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. He's coming back. But you know what? 2 Peter 3, they will say, where is this coming? He promised. I mean, the world thinks that we're crazy for thinking that Jesus is coming again. And they say these things. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. So, Jesus isn't coming. It's a figment of your imagination. Well, the reason he hasn't come yet is, verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The reason why Christ hasn't come back yet is he is waiting. He wants more people to trust him and repent. He's waiting for people to turn from their evil ways and come back to him, because when he comes, it's too late for that moment. They need to turn and place their faith in Christ now. So there's 12 promises. So we only have 8,800 and something left. But we're done for that for tonight. But I want to wrap this up and give us just some overall verses that talk about the promises of God. First of all, what's the purpose of all these promises? And maybe there are promises that you were thinking of that I didn't share, and you're thinking, and maybe all these verses, as I said, there was no verse I shared that you hadn't memorized or didn't know. I mean, it's all very familiar because we look at the promises of God. But what is the purpose? So 2 Corinthians 7, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. So the promises of God should have a cleansing effect on us. They should cause us to be so grateful for all the things that God has blessed us with. All these 12 things that I shared should drive us to say, I need to cleanse myself, purify myself from everything, because I'm so grateful for the promises of God. The proven promises, this is a wonderful blessing. So Joshua 23, Joshua at the end of his life said, now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. Wow, that's great. Not one has failed. Well, Solomon said the same thing in 1 Kings. Praise be to the Lord who has given rest to his people, Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. Not one promise has failed. They're proven. Well, the last comment is, it's all about the person making the promises. I'm sure you've had people in your life that have made promises and they've broken the promises. So the promise is really just as good as the person giving it, really. And the thing about all the promises that I shared with you tonight and remind you about is the person giving the promises is totally reliable. He's the creator of the world. He's sitting on the throne of heaven as we speak. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Jesus Christ is backing up all these promises. And he can be trusted. Men will fail you. Governments will fail you. Others will fail you. You'll be disappointed. But Jesus Christ makes these promises secure. So D.L. Moody had a little habit. He would go through his Bible, and he write the letters T and P in the margins of his Bible by a verse. And basically, he was indicated that he had personally applied and experienced the truth of the verse, and he marked them with T and P because it was tried and proved. So we go through, he says, yeah, I tried that, and God did that for me. Tried and proved. So of all of these promises that I talked to you tonight, I want to encourage you that you try them and prove them and find them to be faithful. And I hope these are a comfort to you, knowing that you can trust that what he says is true and what he's promised will come to pass. Lord, we thank you for your promises. They're so massive. There's so 8,000 of them. And Lord, perhaps we didn't even count them all. But I thank you, Father, that we can trust in you and that we can hold firm and that what you say you will do. And that you're a God that keeps his word. Lord, I pray that you would help us. There are so many things in these promises. Certainly we need to have faith. Certainly we need to reach out and test them and try them and find them to be true in our own lives. So, Father, for someone here tonight who needs to hear the promise of your strength to get through some trial, I pray that you would help them to reach out by faith and that you would turn their weaknesses into strength. Lord, for someone here tonight who needs comfort, I pray that they would be reminded that you are the God of all comfort and the Father of compassion. Father, for someone here who needs peace, I pray that you would just give them your perfect peace and peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, for someone here tonight that just is suffering under a trial, help them, Lord, to realize that if they need wisdom, they can ask, and you will provide that and help them endure that particular trial. So, Father, all of these things, we are so grateful that you have given us everything we need for life and godliness, that you have given us these great and precious promises. And most of all, Father, we thank you for the precious promise of Jesus Christ himself, who has given us eternal life. And we are grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Standing up.